Just turn to Matthew chapter 4, first of all. One of the things we're called to as Christians is to create an atmosphere, to create an environment for something to happen. Jesus always created an environment for something to happen. We can preach the word, we can say all the stuff we know is right, we can do all this kind of stuff, but Jesus always created an environment for something to take place. And if we're going to, whether it's reaching out, touching somebody's life, whether it's discipling somebody, we create an atmosphere or an environment around us just by being who we are. And that environment and that atmosphere that we can create around our lives can either be positive and contagious, or it can be more negative or whatever, and people don't so much want to be around us because we give off vibes. We give off, let's use some words we don't like, you know, in the Christian world, we give off vibes as Christians. Right, you know, we can say we give off a fragrance of the Lord, but let's just, we give off vibes. And when we do that, those vibes are either, I want to be around that person, and that person's always, you know, happy or encouraging, or there's something about them that draws me to them. Or we can give off vibes where it's the opposite, you know, where people kind of aren't so sure, or they're not sure how to approach us, or whether they're going to get a good response or a bad response, whether they get their head snapped off, or whether they're going to be really nice this time. You know, sometimes we can be unreadable, but unreadable can be good, and unreadable can be negative as well. And Jesus was completely unreadable all of the time. But yet people were drawn to him. They loved him. Let's have a quick look in Matthew 4. We're not going to be long this morning. But God wants us to live from our spirit. Out of our spirit. Because if we live out of our spirit, it creates a certain atmosphere around us. Okay? It creates an environment for something to happen. Okay, let's have a look at Matthew 4. Jesus just beginning his ministry. He's teaching, preaching. And he calls in verse 18 onwards, walking beside the Sea of Galilee. Sees two brothers, calls them, immediately they follow him. And in following him, he then begins to do certain things in verse 23. He went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every, note the word every, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. And the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Listen to this, just this little sentence of what was happening. And the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering pains, the demon-possessed, those who are having seizures, and the paralyzed, and nothing happened. Large crowds from Galilee, the 10 cities in Jerusalem, Judea and the region across the Jordan, followed him because nothing happened. What's he saying there? This is like a little kiddie's classroom for a minute, you know, trying to get there. He healed them all, didn't he? Now, Jesus created an environment because of what he did. It was also because of what he said, but what he said and what he did created the whole environment that was around him, the atmosphere. If you're going to make disciples of people, you've got to create an environment for them to be discipled in. Jesus never just laid the law down. You've got to live like this, this, and this, and you must stop doing this, that, and the other. He created an environment for people to hear the truth. And the environment that they heard the truth in was a completely different environment than the religious people had created. The religious people had created an environment of laws. And if you do this, you will be acceptable to God. If you don't do that, you will not be acceptable to God. It was all based in keeping the traditions and keeping the law. Jesus came preaching the truth. And because it was an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere of freedom, it was an atmosphere of the Spirit, people were lifted, something witnessed inside of them, and they said, we want that. Even though some of what he said was fairly full on and fairly direct, there was something in them that said, well, he's preaching the impossible, but it must be possible because somehow in the spirit of what he's saying, I sense this is possible. I feel like what he's saying is different to what the religious people are saying. The religious people, when I hear them, make me feel like I'm not very good. I'm not good enough. They make me feel unworthy. They make me feel like God is far away. They make me feel like I'm never going to get there. But when I listen to Jesus, somehow inside me, I think all things are possible. Even though I don't know how to get there, I just get this sense of anything can happen. That God even likes me, that he actually wants to know me. Why? Because Jesus is creating an environment for people to hear something in. And as Christians, as the church, we're called to create an environment. Okay, let's just look at Mark chapter 1 for a sec. Mark chapter 1. Verse 29. As soon as they had left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. Why? Because he was hungry and he wanted to get on with making the meal. The fever left her, and she began to... Hey, she began to wait on them. Anyway, we won't go there. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. Listen to this. He also drove out many demons, and this is the important part, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, you either determine the atmosphere or you let somebody else determine the atmosphere. You determine things out of your spirit. Jesus healed the mother-in-law. The next thing, the whole town's at the door. People are getting healed. But the enemy wanted to have his say. And Jesus is like, no, this is not your moment. This is my moment. So keep your mouth shut. Because the environment you create is oppressive, depressive. God is far away. People are put off. And so you just keep your mouth shut because I'm here creating a completely different environment. I'm bringing something different. And so Jesus lived out of his spirit. He didn't let the enemy have a voice when... Basically, Jesus saying, shut your gob, it's my turn now. That was Greek. It was. Skudidlios. That was Greek for shut your mouth, isn't it, James? Exactly, yeah. There's a witness from the scholar at the front here. Sorry if your surname's Skudidlios or whatever. He's a Greek tour operator, so if you're on a holiday, we know him quite well. But Jesus created an environment of joy. Amen. There's a number of situations in the Gospels where because of people getting healed, the whole town, it says, was rejoicing. Or joy, that there was joy was in the whole city. See, what kind of vibes do we give off as people? What kind of vibes do we give off? You know, one of the things that we need to be more is confident as believers. Amen. See, a confident believer or a confident church, not an arrogant church, but a confident church, knowing who they are in God, knowing what God's called us to, living according to who we know we are in Christ and all that stuff. There's always a tension, isn't there, between sometimes how you feel and what you know the truth is. But, you know, a confident church will be a happy church. There's loads of different examples we could use this morning. Let's look at Gideon for a minute in Judges. We don't have to go there. We'll just talk about him. Gideon in chapter 6 of Judges, he's in the wine press. He's full of fear and their nation's constantly being invaded and pillaged by the other nations around. And so he's in the wine press full of fear. The angel turns up, begins to speak to him. He wonders who is the angel's talking to, because he doesn't see himself as a mighty warrior. So here's a guy full of fear. So the vibes he's going to give off in his life are full of fear. But God sees something different, speaks to him about being a mighty warrior, because God's plan is for him to lead the nation. But yet he's never going to lead the nation when his perception of himself is, I'm fearful. Who am I? How can God use me? But God wanted to take somebody who was fearful, and instead of creating a fearful environment, he wanted to take that person so they begin to create an environment of possibility, an environment of faith, an environment of leading a nation into something where everybody in the nation wasn't following God at that moment. Because even Gideon's dad and other people who used to follow God were now leading the people in false worship. And in his own generation, there was a lot of people full of fear. They didn't know God. We know that by Gideon's responses. I've heard all about this God of Israel, but I've never seen all the stories that I've been told. There was no living reality in Gideon's life of who God was in him. But yet God wanted to take him from somebody who was fearful, who was acting in fear, thinking in fear, restricted by fear. And he wanted not just to bless him, but actually to become a leader, a person of influence, somebody who created an environment, an atmosphere for something to happen.
Absolutely.
Okay, and we can go through that whole story. But as we know, Gideon ends up through various points of asking God to prove himself and speak to him, that and he learns to know God a bit. He begins to trust God in a greater way as God proves himself to Gideon. He ends up becoming confident, and only then needing to hear one thing from God, then doing it, because he began to know God's voice. He began to know who he was. He knew the call, and he knew what he had to do. Let's just look at Joshua for a minute. At the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, God, in the first part of that chapter, is just encouraging this guy. Be strong, be courageous, be bold. The old is gone, he was saying. Moses is dead. There's a new thing. Now you're the man. Just turn to somebody and say, you're the man, even though you might be a woman. Just say, you're the man. Just turn to them and say, it's your turn now. It's your time. You're the man. Or you're the woman, or whatever. But what did God say to him? Totally encouraging him. Saying, be bold, be courageous. Hang on a sec, if I can find it. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Now, we know that Joshua grew up around the presence of God. He looked after the tent of meeting. So he made sure that everything was sorted in there. He stood guard over it so that people didn't go in there for the wrong reasons. And when Moses went in and encountered God, Joshua would have been there, been around. So he grew up in the presence of God. But even when Moses went, God still had to encourage Joshua, even though he'd grown up in the presence of God, around the presence of God, and around the man of God, Joshua still needed that encouragement from God, because he wasn't sure. And if he wasn't sure, what he was going to create was uncertainty. And God knew that if he was going to lead the people and create an environment of faith and whatever for people to follow, then he needed to make sure that Joshua was confident in who he was in God. So he said, be strong, be courageous. You're going to lead these people. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. And then he says, don't be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Why is he saying that? Because there was a bit of uncertainty in Joshua. And God was saying, if you're going to lead the people, you've got to create an environment. You've got to be a person that creates an atmosphere that people can grow in, that people can be led in.
Yes. Amen.
What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about two things, or one thing on two levels. One is your own personal life. What atmosphere do you create? What environment do you create in your everyday life? Do you create an easygoing, happy environment? Do you create an intense environment? Do you create a faith kind of, I don't know what you might create. We probably all think we probably sometimes are positive and negative. I'm sure we all are at times. But let's be on the positive side this morning rather than focus on the where we might not be so positive. Because you have a choice to make at any given moment. Do we choose to live out of an emotion or out of a feeling or out of something that's happened? Or do we choose to say, well, God has called me to live out of my spirit or the truth and therefore create a different environment? And then we're talking about another level, which is us corporately as a church or as a body of believers. What kind of environment do we create? What kind of atmosphere do you create? Not just in a meeting, but as a church. What kind of atmosphere did the early church create in Jerusalem? What kind of reputation? Because that's really what we're talking about. Atmosphere, environment, reputation. You can chuck all that in one pot. What is it? What environment do we create? The world has an environment. Society has an environment. People are living in an environment. What environment do we bring as a church into our community? Where we bring a different environment, a different atmosphere. We bring something that is contagious, something that people feel like they belong in, something, even though they might not be saved, something they feel like, I want to be part of that. Because we bring an atmosphere or an environment that isn't just a church bubble, but it's an atmosphere of life. It's an atmosphere of God's kingdom. It's an environment of His kingdom life that we bring as a body of people, but also as an individual. We bring that in maybe in a smaller measure, that same kingdom life and atmosphere and environment, because we're part of something that brings a bigger atmosphere and environment. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Jesus came and created an environment, but He wanted to take that beyond the individual, and that's why God came up with the church. Or, well, He came up with the body of Christ or His body, whatever. Because He wanted His kingdom to be represented on earth. So what heaven is like, this atmosphere, this environment, whatever heaven is like, He wanted to recreate that on the earth. That's why Jesus prayed what He did in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your will be on earth. Right. So God wants to create the same environment and atmosphere on earth as it is as there is in heaven. And therefore, as a church, as a body of people, we want to stick as close to God as possible. When we praise God and worship God, we want to get as into heaven as much as possible. That's why we join in with the angels when we worship. Why? Because we want to be worshiping with the angels, but also we want heaven to come down on earth. Why? Because God wants to take this atmosphere and environment of heaven from up there down on the earth so that people can really taste and see that God is good. Is that all right? Yes. So we want to be just full on in our Christian lives. Amen. Full on in our relationship with God. Full on in everything we do, because it's about heaven coming on earth. It's good, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Let's all stand up, shall we? We do that in two ways. One, as an individual, and two, as a body of people. We're not here to defend our Christianity. We're not here to defend ourselves. The kingdom of heaven is advancing forcefully and forceful. So we're an advancing people. We're moving forward in what God wants. We're not standing on the goal line defending things. We're not here to tell everybody else where they're wrong. That's it. And what's wrong with their lives and all that kind of stuff. We're not here to pick at everything going on in society that is negative or doesn't line up. We're here to promote the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. We're here to declare the goodness of God. We're here to bring the life of Jesus into people's lives, into the community, into the nation. That might mean at times having to say things that cut against the grain of what of people's thinking of the way maybe society is or certain pressures that are going on out there. But we're not here just for that cause. We're here to bring the kingdom. And if we bring the kingdom, whether personally or as a body of people or the church in general, if we're a kingdom people bringing the kingdom, then people taste and see something that is different without us having to be on a soapbox saying what we do and don't like about the world. See, when Jesus came, he didn't stand on a soapbox and address all the issues of the day. When he came, he addressed the issue of the human heart. There were loads of other religions around. I mean, look at in Acts when Paul goes to the various places he goes to, and he's in talking with all the thinkers of the day, and they have a space for the unknown God, where they have this plaque. There are all kinds of religions that, and Jesus was in the same environment, but we don't actually find that he kind of got on his pedestal or on his soapbox and had a go at all the different religions and all the different this, that, and the other. He just taught about the kingdom, about the life that God wanted and how you can be part of that kingdom life. And he talked about the issue of the human heart. Because Jesus knows if you get to the heart, that's when people change. And if you get to the heart, that's where society changes. Amen. So we're not here just to get on our case about everything. We're here to see people's lives, society impacted. If God wants to give somebody a voice to say something in a certain way, then it's up to God. He can do that. He can put any one of us in a moment. He can put us in a situation to give us a voice to a person, a group of people, to the nation. He can just orchestrate that whenever he wants, however he wants. If God wants to speak about the nation to do with something going on that we don't like as Christians, or that upsets us, or we're not happy about that, if God wants to speak into that, he'll put somebody on the radio, on the telly, or wherever he wants to bring whatever he wants to. We can easily get distracted by just going around trying to stop this, stop that. Let's deal with all that stuff in the spirit in prayer, but let's get on with promoting the kingdom. Because that's the environment that God wants to see created, if you like, or happening on the earth. Amen. So we're a kingdom people. Kingdom people. Amen. Are you a forceful believer?
Yes.
What does that mean? What does it mean to be a forceful believer? It doesn't mean you're hard. It doesn't mean you're arrogant. It doesn't mean you just stuff everybody else. I'm going to do it anyway. A forceful believer is just somebody who knows who they are in God. And they're not going to be distracted to the left or to the right. And no matter what stands in front of them, somehow they will either jump it, go round it, or if they have to, go through it. Because our fight is not against flesh and blood. So a forceful believer, it's talking about who we are in the spirit. It's not talking about the way we treat people and the way we deal with situations. It's talking about who we are in the spirit. God's been on my case and my wife's case these last few weeks. Jane shared a bit on Sunday. Just about the responsibility that we have as leaders personally, but also the responsibility we have as the body of Christ to really dictate what is going on. But it has to be in the spirit that we really take control, you know, and all that kind of stuff. See, Jesus basically wouldn't let people who were demonized speak out because he said, it's not your turn anymore. It's time that you shut up. Because it's God's turn. It's His time. It's His hour. Amen. I don't know what to do. What should we do now? We're on the winning side. Right. You need to determine. Make a decision. Because that's what your will is for. To make decisions. Okay? Your emotions are to feel good. But your will is to make decisions. Okay? Just decide today that you're going to create a great atmosphere around your life. Positive, happy, tasty, great vibes. Tasty, I don't know where that is in scripture. Have you got a verse for tasty? You'll find one. Okay. An atmosphere of freedom. Amen. And even when you do have a problem, you don't talk about it.
That's it.
Deal with it. Yeah. If you talk about a problem with other people, what are you doing? You're creating a certain environment. Yeah, you're making the problem bigger. If you are going to talk about a problem, do it from the point of view of, I have this situation. I want to see the thing resolved. Will you agree with me? Let's hit the thing. That's how we want to deal with issues or problems. Yeah. All right? Not just rack on about it because, you know, we don't know what else to do with it. Yeah. So you can turn a problem or a negative into a great environment. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Everybody with your eyes open. Make a decision right now. I choose today. Now you don't have to copy me. That's shows what power we have, doesn't it? Was that a spirit of control or what going on there? No, joking. Right. Just make that choice today. I choose today to live what? To live in victory. To live in who I am in Christ. That I'm not going to speak negatively. I'm going to speak positively. I want to create a great atmosphere around me because of who I am in Christ. I want to be a blessing to other people. And if I have a problem or a situation, I'm only going to share it with somebody else to agree with me, amen, to see it change, amen, so that it becomes something positive instead. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day. All right.